You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey, y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 127. Today's episode is all about Mardi Gras 2021, and more specifically about the COVID-induced changes and what they mean for the carnival season. Before we jump in, though, let me talk about the people that make this show possible. First up, Workplace Solutions is one of our sponsors. They offer furniture and technology products for corporate, education, healthcare environments, plus individuals, too. They have partnerships with companies like Steelcase and Microsoft Solutions. And what they do is they create places that make it easier to work, easier to be creative, easier to collaborate. Whether you have an office with hundreds of people and you're trying to refit it through the needs of COVID, or you're like me and you built out a home office and you need just a new desk and a chair, they can help you no matter what you need. Visit Paul and the team over at Workplace Solutions. I recently just got a sit-stand desk from Workplace Solutions for my home office, and I got to tell you, it's been life-changing. I can easily change positions, which has helped my back, and it gives me lots of options for all those Zoom calls. Today's episode is also sponsored by our Patreon supporters. If you love the podcast, the Facebook group, and the work I'm doing, please consider becoming a monthly supporter. You can find out more at patreon.com/beyondbourbonst. And for the price of a cup of coffee or a beer each month, you can help me continue to share my lens in New Orleans with you. If you join at the $10 level or above, we'll mention you on the show, like our newest supporter, Tracy Popkin. With that, let's jump into today's topic. I'm joined by Arthur Hardy, an author, public speaker, Mardi Gras historian, and for the last 40-plus years, publisher of Arthur Hardy's Mardi Gras Guide. Welcome to the show, Arthur. How are you?
I'm fine, Mark. Of course, I remember you long before. Should we tell the story?
We should tell the story.
Beyond Bourbon Street, huh?
So I recently turned 50, if you can believe it.
Well, I'm 112.
So there you go. You're looking good for your age. We first met when I was about 13 years old at Brother Martin High School.
Yep.
Arthur was the band director.
Yep.
And I was a fledgling clarinetist. Never achieved a lot of success, but had a lot of great times.
We really did. We had a lot of fun. And I have fond memories of those days. Still miss it, but went on to do other things.
And you, when I was there, I sometimes tell people my lack of skill may have been the final thing that pushed you out. But you had a little side business back then that was kind of fledgling.
Yep. I started at Brother Martin in 1973. In 1977, my wife and I started the Mardi Gras Guide with the permission of the good brothers of the Sacred Heart that said, you know, you can do this as long as it doesn't interfere with your daytime job. And eventually it did, to the point that we had to say, well, we've got to make a decision. And I retired from teaching in 1989, went full-time with the business, which was hardly an overnight success. We lost money the first 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
And my wife likes to say we were more stubborn than smart, you know. But here we are. This is our 45th annual edition this year.
Well, congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That.
Thank
and
you.
I want to get into that a bunch. But in those early days, I can't imagine how hectic it was. You had your full-time job at Brother Martin. And one of the things we'll talk about when we get into the impact of this year is that we marched in quite a few parades.
We sure did.
And so you were doing the Mardi Gras Guide and all of the related media.
Yep.
And then out there with Mr. Hurley and a bunch of youngsters.
Yeah.
Marching the streets most nights.
It was a balancing or juggling act, but you know, I enjoyed teaching very much, and I still miss it and, again, have fond memories of it. But, frankly, it was an economic decision. We went to where it was at least the opportunity to make money.
Right.
In most years. Now, in this year, I'm not so sure.
Right.
Maybe my wife's right again. We're more stubborn than smart.
Well, and that's a good segue. I want to talk about 2021, but maybe first let's take a quick look back at 2020 because – Mardi Gras was right when COVID was starting to hit, and mm-hmm. it was a unique year by carnival standards.
And we didn't know, of course, that you know, really, Mardi Gras got a black eye, I thought, unfairly so, after the fact, like as if we had known about it. Nobody knew. Any large event was a super spreader. But 2020, you know, was almost... it seemed like a preview of what kind of bad year it was going to be. We
had
two people killed by tandem floats. And then the rest of those parades, Endymion and Nyx, being completely canceled. That's never happened before.
Right.
And then we had three parades that were rained out. Not rained out, actually winded out because of predicted high winds. The city just called them off, and they were able to reschedule without bands. And it just it wasn't a good scene at all. It wasn't a good year. We had a bad feeling about it, but we said, well, that's that. And then, boom, that's not that. Wait till you see what's coming down this pike here. And then COVID hit, and as early as March, people were saying, there's a good chance we won't be able to do this in 2021. And everyone held out hope and hope and hope, and then finally the hammer fell in November, and the mayor let us know it couldn't happen. And now every parish has said it won't be safe, and it wouldn't be. It was a right decision, but a difficult decision. I'm glad I'm not a politician or a governmental official, because damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, and it's hard.
No kidding. And as I think, so you were a guest way back in, I wrote it down because I couldn't remember, 28 or 29 we talked, which was a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And as we talked back then, everything gets set in motion really early.
Sure.
So to cancel has a huge impact that I want to get into. But I also imagine that Mardi Gras obviously can fall pretty early in the year, mm-hmm. or as late as well into March. Mm-hmm. This year was going to be, or 2021, Mardi Gras Day, is relatively early by carnival mm-hmm. standards.
Yeah, it can be as early as February 3rd or as late as March 9th. So February 16th is more early than late. Now in 22, it's March 1st. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of time to wait for the next one, and hopefully by then we'll have it back together. But there'll be long-range fallouts. There's no question about that, and no one knows how big those will be.
Right, and I imagine the fact that it was early gave even less time. Not that I think, given where we are now in late 2020, I think you're right, it's the right decision, it's a hard decision. Yeah. They didn't have much more time, but had it been a March, they would have had a couple more weeks maybe to...
Yeah, but even then, I just don't think even by March it's going to be safe, or safe enough, let's say.
Sure.
The vaccine is the answer, of course.
Right.
We hope it better be, it better be. But the economic impact is incalculable.
So that's what I wanted to...
How do you put a number on this?
Right. Because you have many layers, right?
Yeah.
You have the cruise itself, which I want to talk about. But then you have the second and third order of the artisans and the vendors, the people that sell the food on the streets.
Everything from limousine drivers to florists to beauticians. There's not hardly a layer of the business community that's not affected. Even Budweiser and Coors, you know, that Mardi Gras weekend's the biggest weekend of the year for them. Mm-hmm. It won't be this time.
Mm-hmm.
So there are adjustments that are going to have to be made, and we'll come back. We have before, but this is a tough one.
Have we ever, has Carnival or Mardi Gras ever been canceled?
Well, you know, of course, you can't cancel Mardi Gras. It's tied to the church, and it's a day on a calendar, and it's a spirit, and we all know that. Carnival is, too. But, yeah, there have been 13 years when there were no parades.
Hmm.
You know, Civil War, 1875, there was civil unrest in the city. And then World Wars I and II, Korea had, there were a couple of parades, but most of the season was canceled. Then 1979, police strike in New Orleans. And several parades, about 13 moved to suburbia, and then 12 decided just not to parade. But that was the year Endymion paraded in Kenner. And boy, was that a scene. And I remember, as band director Brother Martin, we were in the Pandora Parade every year, which was in Gentilly, as you know. And it paraded in Kenner. And we went out there, and it was about a seven-hour parade, which normally would have been 2.5 hours.
Right.
We had no police, rowdy crowd. It was a tough, tough day. But a memorable one. You know, even bad experiences look good in hindsight. You say, oh, I remember that.
I remember that Endymion Parade because I believe the rock band Kiss was the grand marshal that year, and they were at the height of their popularity.
Yeah.
And I don't think Kenner was prepared or ready for a parade that size. Who could be?
No.
Right.
No.
I remember crowds as far back as you could see, and I was a young man then. But I remember going.
Yeah.
And I think in the same way, and we'll get to it in a little bit, I think this year will be very different, but it will have its own memories.
Mm-hmm.
I want to delve into the economic impact, though.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a sense of, I imagine the economic impact, what it brings to the city in a given year has got to be hundreds of millions of dollars.
We think so. It's almost impossible to measure. UNO and Tulane are both on economic impact studies, but they're very limited in scope.
Mm-hmm.
And there's such an underground economy here of people of cash business.
Sure.
And even like King Cake Bakeries. You know, some will inflate their numbers to say I'm the biggest. Others will deflate their numbers because of tax purposes, or they don't want the competition. And, oh, he's doing that well. Well, so, you know, and the way the economy is measured, as I understand it, by the state and even by the city, is monthly. Hmm. So let's say Mardi Gras is March 3rd. Well, do you just look at March? Or you can't just look at the first 3 days.
Right.
There certainly was some business in February. People buy beads in October. Is that measured as part of the carnival season? So there's so many logistical problems to trying to get a handle on it. People don't realize how much is involved. The Toth Parade, for instance, they hire 40 of these large, not Greyhound buses, but you know what I mean, the large,
yeah,
large,
sure,
buses that seat 40 people. What does that cost? Mm-hmm. Just to transport the men from the starting area to the floats. Now, all those bus companies get paid, the drivers get paid, you got to put gas in the bus, you got to clean the bus. You know, where does that trickle down in? And those bus drivers who get paid, they go to buy Popeye's chicken, they go to Rouse's.
Right.
You know, it just, even our little magazine, you know, we're basically a two-person company, but we have writers, we have photographers. We sell at 500 different outlets. They all make money. Those people are paid. You know, it just, where does it end? Yeah, and so I don't think you're going to get a number other than to say it's very, very high.
And I think that maybe this is the year that lots of people that aren't necessarily in the inside start to realize those impacts,
yeah,
right? I mean, when we take our kids out on the parade route, you're right. We stop and get a box of Popeye's fried chicken or a Power Ant's po' boy or whatever it might be. So there's money there. The street vendors coming up and down the street.
Sure.
Lord knows we buy enough cotton candy and snaps on the street. You might buy some beer at the corner store, right? All of that stuff.
Yeah.
Not to mention the costumes, the designers. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is the crews themselves. It's my understanding some of them, like Rex, for instance, and probably Toth as well, the big organizations, they plan their themes out a couple of years in advance. Right?
Absolutely, yeah. And some will be able to hold their themes for next year, but let's take Rex, for instance. The parade they had planned for this year, for 21, and you know, when you say this year, we're talking in 2020,
carnival,
but this year
season
is 2021, right? Mardi Gras. They can't roll it over for 22 because that's the 150th anniversary, and that parade will have a special theme. So the best they could do is roll this parade over to 2023. So now that's only a few crews have that sort of situation, but
right,
it's not as easy as just packing it up and doing it next year. But what about the dues that were spent this year on all organizations, or the throws that you bought? Crew captains were very smart not to put themes or dates on their throws this year. So they can, I hate to say recycle because they've never been used, but they can use them in 22.
Mm-hmm.
But that means they're not buying any throws for 22.
And so that has an impact.
Yeah, what happens to those manufacturers
that
are going to have, maybe they got paid for this year, but they won't get paid for next year because next year is this year. So, again, where does it end? I wish I had a number, but it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. There's no question about that. I mentioned to you our advertising in our magazine was off 60%. That's considerable. Now, we're okay, but I hope those people come back next year. But what if they don't? Then my COVID is 2 years, not one.
And I would imagine, so Arthur Hardy's Mardi Gras Guide, again, I think you said the 42nd?
45th.
45th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would imagine you guys do a lot of business on the retail side during carnival season.
Yes, we
People
do.
Walk into a Rouse's or a Walgreens and they see the magazine. They say, oh, yeah, I'm going to pick that up.
And we're hoping people will especially be interested this year because we have no parades in it, but we've got a lot of other good things. But the hotels that would buy them and put them in rooms, they have nobody coming for their rooms.
Right.
The step-on guide, the tour buses, places, you know, the airport, the French Quarter gift shops. If there are no people here to buy it, you know, what do you do? It's not their fault, not my fault. It's COVID's fault.
And that's another. You talk about the hotels that traditionally enjoy very, very high occupancy rates, both the first and second weekend of the parade season.
Yeah. Hotels are averaging 6% right now. You can barely stay open. It's almost more economically wise to close than to have 6% of your rooms. You got 1,000 rooms. What's 6%? 60. I mean, you know, it's hard, but Again, we've survived other things, and I know we're going to come back. It's just how quickly and how strong can we do it. And I don't think 22 is going to be 100% recovery. It can't be. It wasn't after Katrina. It took a good 3 years to come back. I'm most interested in what's going to happen in the French Quarter on Fat Tuesday. Mm-hmm. In 1979, when there was no police strike, it was the most mellow crowd ever. People were there enjoying their own Mardi Gras, hugging and kissing and drinking. You can't do that this time.
Right.
Well, not legally. or even not wisely in terms of health. Mm-hmm. But you know people are going to be out there. You know, you're not going to take away my Mardi Gras. So I just hope people will be safe as they celebrate. Nobody's trying to take away your Mardi Gras, but we've got to be smart. But it's going to be interesting to watch.
And there's been some creative, nothing can take the place of all of the parades and the pageantry. I wonder if there'll be unofficial costume contests and that sort of thing.
Could be.
You know,
except we're not supposed to gather a number.
Correct.
So how do you do that socially distancing-wise?
I think one of the things that's gained a little bit of traction is this idea of house floats where people are decorating.
Yeah, the Grilled Red Beans is doing that. We've got a story of that in our magazine, and it's a wonderful idea. It's a very philanthropic group anyway, but this puts people to work, unemployed float builders. It gives people a chance to have their own house decorated by professionals, and it's an alternative. It's not a substitute. You know, I've had some of my purest friends, it ain't Mardi Gras, they shouldn't do that, that's the sacrifice. No, it's not. People have to express themselves. And we are very creative people in this town. And I don't think we've heard the last of, I didn't know that was going to happen. You watch. There's going to be some neat things happening.
I think that's likely to become a permanent part of Carnival as well. Yeah. Because, again, it is a way for individuals, maybe they aren't in a Carnival crew, have no interest in that.
Yeah.
They can decorate their homes. And as you mentioned, I think people have become attuned to there's this whole cadre of artisans in the city who depend on Carnival to make their living.
Yeah.
And now that's gone, at least temporarily.
Yeah.
And so it would shock me if this doesn't become a permanent way to supplement their income and have more people involved.
It may. It absolutely may. The alternative crews really bring a lot to the table. And, you know, after the 79 police strike, the 1980 Mardi Gras, people really appreciated what they missed in 79. You know, you don't know what you missed.
Right.
It's gone well. And I think same thing's going to happen next year. That year after Katrina was so special.
It was.
It was a very much scaled-down celebration, but it was just very emotional, and we had to show the world that we were back, and we did it for ourselves, basically.
And I think you might have said that, I at least attribute this quote to you often, that Carnival, Mardi Gras particularly, is the greatest free show on earth that we throw for ourselves.
Yeah,
and it just so happens that other people come.
Yeah, and we're glad they do and leave their pocketbooks here, or at least some of the money in it. But that was a really, and I think we have talked about this, was such an emotional Mardi Gras. And we took a lot of criticism nationwide for how can you fools be celebrating when there are blue tarps on roofs and people dead, you know. And we showed them, and we needed it for us. And I'll never forget the people holding up signs to the float riders, thank you, instead of throw me something.
Yeah.
It just breaks your heart.
Yep.
But it meant a lot.
It was healing in a way, even though it was so early compared to Katrina.
It was 6 months after the storm. We were out there doing our thing, and then we went back to work. But but it was important for us to do it, to show. And we had 1,500 credentialed media in town Mardi Gras weekend, basically to see what we were doing and why we were doing it. And I did a lot of interviews, and most of the reporters just didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know, until the few that stayed after Mardi Gras said, oh, yeah, now we see. This was cool, wasn't it? I said, well, that's what we've been trying to tell y'all.
And it did have a local feel, unlike any Mardi Gras. Going back to the strike, I was a young boy, but that had a different feel because it was so different, right?
Yeah.
It was outside of Orleans Parish and all that. But in many respects, 2006 as an adult had that feel to me.
Yeah.
It was special. There weren't a ton of tourists. There were a lot of hugs and a lot of tears on the road.
Oh, man.
And,
absolutely.
You know.
And, you know, 79, there was a lot of anger.
Yeah, right.
Anger at the police, at the Teamsters Union. You know, the city was kind of torn apart by that. But Katrina was different. I mean, there was sadness, but not anger.
Right. Yeah, and there was some hope.
So I think a similar kind of thing will happen now. We're going to get over this and come back, but the wounds are deep and afresh, and yeah. it's not going to go away quickly. I think we're going to lose a couple of crews that mm-hmm. were financially teetering anyway. The big boys will be fine, mm-hmm. But people are finding other things to spend their money on. You know.
Yep, I think some right. I think they'll have different challenges, right? Some of the smaller crews struggling to hang on, or some of the newer crews in recent years, yeah. you know, to miss a year is a big deal. Some of the bigger ones get a lot of out-of-town riders that, yeah. that they've yeah. had for years, right? And they may or may not lose some of that. One question I have for you is, what happens in terms of the royalty of the, say, a Rex or a Zulu, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. clearly with Rex, the queen, although yeah. we don't know her identity, yeah. she's known for almost a year now.
Yeah.
She's likely a junior, I think, in college yeah. somewhere. What will happen there?
I think they're just going to be pushed up a year. I think the whole debutante scene may change from junior to senior year, because none of the quote-unquote society crews were able to function this year. You know, before I forget, there are going to be some interesting media things this year. NOLA.com will be doing 3 nights leading up to Mardi Gras of special programming. Mm-hmm. Channel 12, WYS, Peggy Scott, LaBorde Errol, I'll have some appearances there, doing some neat things, some looks back at earlier carnivals. And I think every TV station is going to figure out a way to celebrate maybe highlights of past years or something. Mm-hmm. But here again, you're going to see some creative people coming up with, hey, why don't we try, we've never done that. Well, that's why we ought to do it. You know, I can't wait to see just what people are going to do. You know people are going to do something.
Yeah,
I mean, we just can't sit on our hands. There'll be more king cakes than ever, I bet.
I was thinking about that. It's a short king cake season yeah. anyway, with a relatively early yeah. Mardi Gras. But you have places like the individual bakeries or the King Cake Hub, which has come on the scene the last couple
of
years.
It's wonderful. And they're on Broad Street now. They're no longer at the mortuary.
Oh, really?
They're going to be at the Broad Street Theater on Broad, right off Orleans Avenue.
Another great shop, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And so people are innovating already, and our magazine is supposedly on a truck right now coming from the printer's plant in Pontiac, Illinois. We can't find anybody in Louisiana to print it. And I haven't seen it yet. I've seen, you know, the pages laid out, but we're doing 65,000 copies this year, which is less than normal, but mm-hmm. I think appropriate. The Times-Picayune Advocate bought copies for all of their subscribers, and that'll be in their paper a couple of weeks before Mardi Gras.
Nice.
And that's helped us out a lot of quite a bit, you know, financially. So we're going to be out there, and I think people will be interested, even though there are no parades. You know, Mardi Gras is more than parades.
Absolutely.
So we're kind of excited to get it going.
You wrote a whole coffee table book, The Illustrated Guide to
yeah.
Mardi Gras, right?
Yeah, we did a history, a coffee table history of Mardi Gras that's now just about out of print. It's been through 5 updated editions. But one of the fun stories we have in this year's magazine is about Morgus the Magnificent, who just died, mm-hmm. Sid Noel, and his participation in Mardi Gras. And he had some just crazy moments of he was supposed to ride in the Endymion Parade. They had a live shot from Gallier Hall, a television special, and Endymion supposedly told him he could get on the last float. So he's out there with his camera crew. Well, the last float's a garbage truck. So, Marcus, anyway, you'll have to read the story. But
nice.
Some fun things like that.
So maybe the answer's both. Was it a challenge, or was it sort of a free and creative venture this year to not have the parades as part of your guide?
Well, we knew, I predicted early on parades would be canceled. But what we did is we have as kind of a salute to the crews. So all of the 60 crews that are always in the magazine have a presence in the magazine.
I see.
Picture of their doubloon, little history and what they normally do, and their 2022 dates. So the crews are in the magazine. The parades aren't, because there are no parades.
Right.
So all the rest of it is stories. And sadly, not as many ads as I would like.
Sadly,
but
yeah.
we have some fun things in it. And I'm hoping that people will say, well, we can't go to parades. Let's at least buy a magazine. That's my hope. We'll see. I'll let you know if this was a dumb decision or not.
I don't think so. I'm really excited about it because it's different. You know, I have read the magazine since it was mimeographed,
yeah.
and I'm just looking forward to something different in
yeah,
it this year.
Yeah, well, you know? we made the decision early on we would publish no matter what, and we had enough content ready to go. And frankly, it was a business decision. My thought was, you know, out of sight, out of mind. If we skip a year,
sure.
Maybe it would definitely be harder to come back if we skipped a year than if we published.
Yeah.
And a lot of people encourage us, come on, you got to put something out there to keep the chain going. You know, my goal was to make it to our 50th anniversary, which is, if I live that long, you know, five more years.
It's for me, I mean, maybe it's because I grew up with you and there from the early days, but it is part of Carnival. It's a tradition for us to get the magazine and to see it. And I'll let the cat out of the bag here. You and I were talking. For my Patreon supporters that contribute at the $10 level or more, I'm going to mail you a copy of Arthur's Guide this year. Yeah, it's a
I'll
way
make
to
you
share.
A good deal, Martin. Brother Martin special.
There you go. It's a way to share our collective love of Carnival with people near and far. So I'm excited about that. The, you know, we talked about the magazine, and we'll see what's different. You also started another little venture in the last year. Let's talk about that a little bit. Yeah. I was really excited for the YouTube channel.
Well, thank you. I found a new way to lose money. We started a vlog last year, and I didn't even know what a vlog was 2 years ago until my daughter said, Dad, my 35-year-old daughter. Anyway, we said, you know, I certainly have the content and hopefully the knowledge and the resources to do some little video segments. So we did, I think, 24, 25 mm-hmm. last year. And I think they're kind of good. They're still up there on YouTube.
Just go to
Authority's Guide to Mardi Gras. My disappointment was we couldn't get many subscribers, and it's free. And, you know, I'm knocking myself in the head saying I've got 5,000 friends on Facebook. I'm on radio, TV, newspaper. I've got all this going for me. Why can't I get people to, for free, watch stuff that you would think they're interested in if they're my friends? And I still haven't figured that out yet. But we're going to continue to do it, update it, do some new segments this year. And it's just another way to share Mardi Gras knowledge. It's not free to create.
Right.
But it's free to enjoy.
Yep.
So please sign up.
We're going to put a link to it in the show notes for today's show over at beyondbourbonst.com. I really enjoy it. It's
another chance.
And I think for those of us that are local, we have the opportunity to see you and Peggy and some of the others on television quite often, particularly during the season. But if you're not here, you don't. And I also like that it captures kind of a moment in time and your thoughts at that time. Again, I'm biased. I've known you a long, long time. But I think that's one of the neat things about video and, to a lesser degree, audio. It captures sort of an artifact.
Yeah, so it really does.
I would encourage people. They're well done. I know you're discouraged, but don't be. I want to see it continue. It's really the magazine, again, is wonderful, but it's one time a year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the videos can live on. I wonder, switching gears just a little bit, do you have a sense of, will we see Mardi Gras Indians out on the streets?
I don't think so.
They couldn't parade legally.
Yeah,
right?
you would think if any group was going to be, and I don't want to use the word defiant, but just free spirited of saying, you know what, I'm putting my suit on and I'm doing my stuff, dude.
Right.
But I'm hearing not that that they feel the same way, that this is dangerous, and most of the ones I've heard of have not done their suits for this year, and have just said, this is a time to chill, you know, good for them. You know, I mean, we really, really have to be. Nobody loves partying and a parade more than me, but it's not worth more than somebody's life. Come on. And the Indians, many of them are of an age and of a lifestyle that makes them more vulnerable, let's face it.
Yeah.
People my age, you know, I mean, really, it's, you just have to be smart.
Yeah.
And I think we will be. There'll be time to do this. It's just not now.
And I think Mardi Gras Indians, you alluded to, it's largely made up in the African-American community,
yeah,
a high-risk population. Many of the big chiefs tend to live in areas that have been hit really hard.
Exactly.
It's a financial burden. Labor love, maybe, is the better word. But these guys spend hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars on their suits. And so it's not a thing to take lightly. And during this year of COVID, when so many people have been hit economically.
Sure. And who would see them if they come out?
Right.
Or do you want to be responsible for bringing people out?
For bringing people. Right.
And then you're the bad guy.
And they have a tradition. They only wear those suits one season.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mardi Gras Day, perhaps St. Joseph's Night.
Yeah.
And so that's a big deal. I wonder how it will be different. But at the same time, while I'm disappointed, I'm also excited to see the creativity, to see, you know, what the city will do. You mentioned it. We're a creative people. You can't just turn that off.
And let me tell you, they'll be on 12th night. The mayor just announced she is doing her King Cake celebration and carnival kickoff at Mardi Gras World. That's not open to the public, but the crew captains are there. And then the Funny 40 Fellows will ride.
On the streetcar.
On the streetcar, they're going to have to socially distance, so they won't have as many riders.
Right.
And people will not be allowed inside the car barn. Viewers, obviously,
sure.
The riders will. I still think there'll be people out in the street.
I do too.
But again, you can do that safely if you're smart. Wear a mask. Don't hug. Don't get too close to anybody.
The parade's not super long. It passes by relatively quickly.
Yep. And I have people every year call me and say, do you have the route of the Funny 40 Fellas? Well, unless they move the St. Charles Avenue streetcar tracks, it's pretty much going to be on, you know.
It's a fun tradition, and it's easy. I can tell you with kids, it's a very easy event. It's relatively short.
And it's fun. And then they are the heralds of carnival. You know, they trumpet the arrival. Here it goes, guys. And it may be the only quote-unquote parade we'll see this year.
That's right.
But I'm happy that they're going to do that again, and I certainly will be out there either with the TV crew or by myself.
Well, while it's going to be a year unlike any other, I do think it's going to be memorable in its own way. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the Mardi Gras guide.
Me too. I can't wait to see it.
We were talking before we came on, right? So much is different for you when you made that decision. A different printer this year, and all those different complexities that pop up.
Yeah, but it's what makes it fun. You know, nothing is for sure, but to me, every day is a gift, and I try to enjoy it. And I said, even bad experience, you say, well, that's part of the deal. Let's roll on here, and I think we're going to have a good year.
I do too. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. I wanted to mention that we also receive support from our partners, including NOLA Boards, Honey Island Swamp Tours, The Occasional Wife, Sweet Olive Soapworks, Two Chicks Walking Tours, and others. There's a full list of our partners and discount codes in the show notes. Please support them. They help me make the show for you.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.